Hi, this is Brennan from Bedrock Games and the Bedrock blog, and today I'm doing a Q&A. I'm going to answer the question, how do you make adventures? And specifically, how do you make adventures for Ogregate? Now, I'm going to assume this is not a not modules that we're talking about. I'm going to assume that it's how I would run adventures or make adventures in my own game, in my own campaign, and how I might encourage others to do it. I guess the first part of that answer is, I don't care how you make adventures for Ogregate. Do whatever you want. It's not really any of my business or concern how people do things at their home table. So there's no ought. There's no, you know, there's no way that you should be doing this. You can just do it however you want. You know, when I'm running Ogregate, and this is different from how I run a lot of my other campaigns, but I run Ogregate as a sandbox with dramatic elements. And when I'm making adventures for it, I'm not really making adventures. What I'm doing is, and I've covered this on the blog a bit, but what I'm really doing is I'm maybe coming up with some, you know, new groups, NPCs, stuff like that at the start of a campaign that I maybe think could be relevant to things going on, but they don't have to be. And for the most part, I'm just kind of reacting to what the players do. And I, in between sessions, will think about what the players did and how people in the martial world might be reacting to that. I also try to think, well, is there anybody that could be emerging in the martial world that would challenge the players or be interested in them in some way? So the short answer is I make characters, I make sex. I come up with reactions to what the players are doing, and I don't really think in terms of like, oh, here's a scenario. I think more in terms of, okay, is there an interesting old reclusive master doing something in the martial world that may or may not attract the interest of the party? And that will have greater and lesser degrees of direct effect on the party depending on whatever idea I come up with. So like a really heavy-handed one would be, I had a master who was imprisoning people and shrinking them and creating a little mini Zhang Hu in this cave that he had. And he was a really powerful guy. And I think at one point, somebody that the players had an interest in speaking to was one of the people that got shrunken down. And so that's a scenario where obviously at some point the players may have a strong interest in going. A lot of other times, though, it's more remote. Something I also will do is, especially if the players have been going around for a while and kicking a lot of butt and all that stuff, I will sometimes come up with a group that is, you know, more of a direct challenge to them. So I'm not averse to coming up with things that are particular to the party. But again, I don't overdo that because I feel like that can start to feel artificial if you do it too much. So I might come up with a sect that's ferocious enough and has a nice suite of Kung Fu techniques and abilities that they would pose an interesting challenge to the party. And they might even have goals that are in opposition to the party, or maybe not. The other thing I like to do is I like to not really know how things are going to pan out. So if I do come up with something like that, like say I come up with a sect and I'm like, ooh, this would be an interesting, antagonistic sect for the party to deal with. Maybe, a group that is hostile to their interests or whatever. I don't really think about it beyond that, because one thing that I want to do is allow the players to make choices along the way of how they're going to deal with this group. And if any of those choices would turn that group into allies or alter the course of where this hostility is going, I want to be true to that. I like being surprised as a GM. I like not knowing where things are going. So I see the fun and drama of a sandbox as sort of the organic chemical reaction of all these elements coming together. Now, that said, if I'm running Strange Tales of Songling, or I'm running a horror game, or I'm running an Ogregate campaign where I want more concrete adventures, and sometimes I do, then I will always start with the bad guy. That's always been my approach. And if you look at the Ogregate rulebook, that's one of the things that I suggest to people. I think that it's very easy when you're a GM to not know where to start. And starting with the bad guy is just you can't go wrong doing that. Number one, you start creating an interesting villain, and then around that villain, you can create all the other elements of an adventure. And the adventure can be as structured or unstructured as you want. It depends on what you're trying to do. I typically, for something like Strange Tales of Songling, would have a monster hunt or an investigation type monster of the week scenario. So usually that's going to be a very specific threat doing something in a region that where the players are summoned to or have an interest in going to. And in Ogre Gate, it might be, you know, more related to things that are kind of, you know, quest driven or whatever. Again, if I have a group that really likes having, you know, a more clear adventure structure or something, then I'm going to start coming up with really dramatic villains and things like that. I do tailor things to my groups of players that I'm playing with. So it really does depend. But again, the default for Ogre Gate with me is I don't really make adventures. I kind of prepare a bit in between sessions, and I do some prep work before the start of the campaign, and I'm always creating new characters and I'm looking for moments. I guess that's another thing to mention. So I'll give an example. The players in this campaign, they killed a guy named Spear Immortal. And when they, after they did so, they raided his treasury. And in his treasury, they found a red wedding dress that was intended for his daughter. And so at that point, you know, I started really sort of hashing out who his daughter was and, you know, all these details about her. And clearly, because they killed her father, it's likely that this could turn into some kind of feud or something. So that was a point where I realized, okay, here I have a character I need to develop that may be very important to what's going on and something the party did. And I have to really think about how that character feels about it, what their intentions are, what their resources are, what their standing in the martial world is, you know, and their personality and background and all that stuff. So again, Ogre Gate is sandbox and drama. So it's not quite, I think a lot of people misunderstand what it is I do with Ogre Gate when I'm running it. It's very open, very free form. I try not to anticipate where things are going to go, but I also allow for drama to unfold because it's wuxia. Another thing about Ogre Gate, and this gets beyond making adventures, but it's probably an important point. Ogre Gate, again, everybody who runs or makes wuxia RPGs is going to be inspired to do them in a different way from other people, because it's one of these genres where you fall in love with it, and then you get all these ideas about what you think the genre is about and how you can make it work at the game table. And one thing that I've always felt, and again, not everybody agrees with me, so don't take this as like gospel or something. This is just kind of my perception of things. But I've always felt that people kind of overemphasize certain aspects of wuxia, and they de-emphasize other aspects in ways they don't do for other genres. So a good example of that, and this is a topic I always harp on, is the presence of wuxia dungeons in Ogre Gate. I feel like dungeons are very prevalent in wuxia. Not every wuxia movie has dungeons. Not every wuxia novel has them. But they're there more, I think, than in most fantasy stories I read. And I'm not the biggest fantasy reader, so take that with a grain of salt. But I think that the dungeons are definitely a part of it. And also inns, which is a very big sort of D&D type trope. They're more common in wuxia, I think, than D&D or the source material that D&D is based on. So I don't think that those things need to be shied away from. And when I made Ogre Gate, what I wanted was something that got all the stuff, the vast array of potential adventure structures and tropes and adventure elements, not just a narrow band of things. So I didn't want to just focus on like inter-character stuff, and I didn't want to just focus on exploration, and I didn't want to just focus on, you know, martial arts. I wanted all that stuff to be the focus. And so it's not a hyper-focused setting. It's not a hyper-focused system in that sense. The system is hyper-focused in the sense that it devotes most of its attention to kung fu techniques, but it's intended to be something where you can run a dungeon crawl, you can run, you know, a monster hunt, you can run a sect war, you can have all of this personal drama or sect drama. You know, it's trying to be everything that I feel captures as much of Wuxia as I can. And obviously the monsters, maybe those are a little bit more, those are kind of there, not so much as being part of the genre as much as they are. I felt that having the fantasy element enables longer term campaigns. It makes it a little bit easier. So again, with Ogre Gate, I run it as Wuxia Sandbox. I don't feel that it's really, you know, that important for other people to do it that way, but that's how I run it. And what that means in terms of making an adventure is I don't really make an adventure. Now, like I said, if I am making an adventure, I will do things like focus on the bad guy, that kind of thing. And obviously you do need things like locations, you need sex, you know, it's not totally free form. I'm not just sort of winging it the whole way through. I have a setting, I have populations, I have organizations that matter, but I'm really reacting to what the party does more than I'm, you know, encouraging them to go into any particular direction. And I'm also not that interested in, like, I think a lot of GMs are encouraged to think in terms of, okay, here's the beginning, middle, and end of the adventure, or here's you know, the big payoff at the end of the event. I really don't worry about that. I don't care if the party has like no, if the session has no climax or if it has a big dramatic climax. Stuff like that will crop up, but I'm not really worried about, this was the adventure that we went on and this was the culmination of that. I avoid that stuff when I'm running Ogre Gate because what I've just found works long-term for me is not prioritizing that kind of thing. If I run, for example, I used to run a lot of adventure, linear adventures for like, you know, 3.0, 3.5 D&D, whatever. And before that, I used to run a lot of the, you know, sort of more, I guess you could call them kind of like story-driven type adventures from the 90s era and a variety of RPG systems. But I used to run, you know, adventure paths, I guess we would call them now. And I found those very unsatisfying as a GM. And I also found them enervating. I did not have the stamina to keep making adventure paths for the party. One, because it's a lot of work. Two, because it's the kind of prep I don't like. It's very, it just isn't the kind of prep that I like to do. And three, because I'm just sort of watching the players go through the adventure path. There's no surprises for me, and nothing seems to grow as organically as I would like it. Now, I know that's not how all adventure paths work, but I'm just saying my experience over, you know, running them for a while was I just didn't quite like that. So I like, you know, more open, less worried about structure type approaches. I hope that answers the question. If it doesn't, I'll try to, you know, address this again. This is a really hard topic to get into because it's not always easy for me to analyze my own style. And so it may be that other people besides myself who've been in my games might have more insight into what I do. But, you know, just in terms of, you know, how do you make an adventure for Ogre Gate? Make it however you want. But the way I do it is I focus on characters and I don't focus on the adventure and being sort of, you know, like reactive. And, you know, and again, having a variety of tools too at my disposal. Like, you'd be surprised how far the grudge tables can take you if nothing is prepared for the evening. You know, stuff like that. So anyways, I'll be back on with another episode soon. And until next time, I will talk to you later.